Luke chapter 8, we're going to be reading verses 41 to 56. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father of and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen. And the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired, infallible word. This passage appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The events recorded as in Luke 8 that we read about Jairus' daughter and the woman that touched the hem of Christ's garment. In Matthew it says, just preceding this event, while Jesus was yet speaking, teaching, John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees, while he was speaking in the city of Capernaum, a man came to him in the harbour. A man who had reached the end of himself. A desperate man who has come to his last hope. He's in a critical situation in his life. We find in this passage that Jesus meets two desperate people. Two people on the worst day of their lives. I'm going to give you 5 points from the passage this morning. Number one, we see the ruler's plea. Number two, we see the desperate woman. Number three, the Jesus who has time. Number four, the dead girl is asleep. And number five, Talitha Kumi. But first, the ruler's plea. It says in verse 41 and 42 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, "Behold, a man named Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue, he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. And as he went, the people thronged him." We notice some things about the ruler from the passage, don't we? Everything has to come from the Bible. We see that he has a name, and his name is Jairus, Mark 5:22. We see that he is a ruler of the synagogue, the same verse. That means he is in a position of respect, a position of authority in the town of Capernaum. And yet we see this man coming and falling down on his knees at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we ask why. And we know why, as we read the passage before. But let's deduce from the passage. Because on the worst day of your life, all your position, all your respectability, and all your honor is meaningless. Meaningless. And you would give it all in an instant to change the situation if you could. Why was this Jairus' worst day? His day of days? Because he has only one daughter. And she is only 12 years old. Luke 8:42. 12 years. And his daughter is at the point of death. She is dying. Mark 5 says, at the point of death. In this passage, sometimes we can read the Bible and we read it just casually and we take the things and don't realize these were real events and real people that really happened. You're meeting in this passage a father on his worst day, facing his greatest fear and dread in all his hopelessness and helplessness. He can't do anything about it. And when that happens, all your other cares mean nothing. This honorable, respectable citizen falls down in the dust and he pleads. That's what it means in the Greek language. Mark says, he besought Jesus greatly. Matthew says, he came and worshipped him. He kissed the hand of Christ. Mark says, Jairus beseeches him, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come. A father at the end of himself. And on that day, he comes to Jesus Christ. And he has faith that Jesus Christ can help him on this day of days, this worst day of his life. And his faith is not misplaced. Jesus goes with him, verse 19. He brings his disciples. But as he goes, it tells us that the crowd thronged him. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. The large crowd went along the streets thronging the Lord. And in that crowd, we meet the second person in the passage that we want to think about. My second point, the desperate woman. Verse 20 to 21. 20 to 21, sorry, that's in Matthew's Gospel. I'm using the three Gospels. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. This is the second person Jesus meets that day. And she's also in the worst day of her life. On the edge of the crowd, veiled and scared as a woman who's down to her last hope today. I've told you about her before, many years ago. First time I preached here was in 1994 on a Thursday. Similar event to these events. But let me tell you about her again. This woman, down to her last hope, has been sick for 12 years. The same amount of time as Jairus' daughter. She's 12 years old. She'd been to all the doctors, Mark 5:26. She'd spent all that she had, all. Mark chapter 5, verse 26. Everything I'm saying is from the Bible. All that she had. The doctors were not free. They couldn't cure her. And she's getting worse. And she would die, verse 26. She's lonely. How do you know she was lonely? Because with her illness, no one was allowed to touch her. No one was allowed to sit on the same bench as her. No one was allowed to sit at the same table. And that was 12 years. She has no hope left. But then she heard of Jesus. It says that in Mark 5:27. Then she heard of Jesus. And she came to him in the crowd. Him who was and is her last hope. And she touched the talith, the hem, the tassel. Rabbis wore a robe that had four tassels. That's what the word is, talith, on the teacher's robe. She touched the hem of his garment. Why? Because it says in Matthew 9:20 and 21, because she believed that she touched the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. She believed that if she touched it, she'd be made whole. See, faith. She believed. She did touch the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. And that's where we meet the third point. The Jesus Christ to his time. Verse 22 of Matthew. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The Christ to his time. You know, it tells us in the parallel passages, Jesus stopped and he asked, who touched me? And Peter and the disciples say, Lord, the crowds are thronging you. Many people are thronging you and touching you. And Jesus says, no. Because out of them all, only one person touched him that day in faith. One. And when the woman, Luke 8:47, saw that she was not hid, she came in fear and trembling, got down her knees and told them all the truth in front of everybody. And the Lord, we note, did not scold her, because he could have. She's not allowed to be in the crowd. She's not allowed to touch anyone. But he just says these words. Daughter. Verse 48 of Luke 8. Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Be comforted. Your faith has made you whole. This desperate, lonely, sick woman came to Jesus as a last resort and found him so much more than she ever hoped. Daughter, he says, how long would it have been since this woman for 12 years had heard anything like it. No one had given her a hug, ever, in 12 years. No one had touched her. And Jesus turns and he says, "Daughter, be of good comfort." And he commends her faith. He commends her faith and comforts her. You see, brethren, let us always remember, Jesus takes time for those in need, even when he's in an emergency situation, and even if the person in need in the eyes of the world is not important at all. Jesus takes time. He makes time for those in need. Let us not be rushing about on busy bodies like the world. Jesus has time for those in need, while they're important or not. And it's at this time, when the messenger comes from Jairus' house and gives him the message that no one wants to hear, the bad news that nobody ever wants to hear, the words that make this Jairus' worst day. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 5. While he yet spake, there came the ruler from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master further?" What a message. No one ever wants to hear that message. What a savior. Nobody says, "Don't be afraid." Jesus, hearing this, turning to Jairus, says, "Fear not. Only believe. Sola fide. Believe only." The only thing, and it's an imperative, it's a command in the Greek. Only believe. Believe alone. The only thing you've got to do is have faith. The only thing you've got to do is believe. Jesus is strengthening Jairus' faith. And Jesus goes to the house, but now all the crowds don't come. He leaves them behind. In fact, he doesn't even bring all the disciples. He only brings three, Peter, James, and John. Which brings me to the fourth point, the dead girl is asleep. Verse 23 and 24 of Matthew, or as we read in Luke, or Mark actually. Let me look at it in Mark. We can, Look at verse 39 of Mark 5, if that's where you are. "And when he was come, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he takes the father and mother, and they go into the damsel's room." Wonderful passage. See these weepers at this particular funeral. They don't believe Jesus at all. Sure they don't. Jesus says, the girl's not dead, she's sleeping. And they laugh him to scorn. Not only do they not believe, but not believing is not enough. There's some people. Sure it isn't. They have to go a wee step further and mock and scorn. That's a whole different level. They deride. That's what it means in the Greek language. You know what you can tell from this? Their grief was false. You've all met people that are grieving, haven't you? You've grieved yourself. Some are already grieving today, presently. You don't go to someone who's grieving and they're in deep grief and the next minute they're laughing and mocking people to scorn at the click of your fingers. A person that's grieving doesn't do that. Not if the grief's real. But we find these grievers, these weepers, they were paid to come and weep at the funerals in New Testament times. They hear this news that Jesus says, and instantly they go from crying to mocking and laughing. Their grief is utterly false. When he, who's the he? I love this bit in the Bible. It's in all the three Gospels. The He is Jesus. When He had put them all out. You know what it means in the Greek word? It's a participle. As Jesus was casting, was throwing them all out of the house. Get out! If you don't believe, get out. If you mock and you scoff, get out. He put them all out. I love that bit. You see, it's not so much gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But what we have in the New Testament is the revelation of the real Jesus that you must believe in. Yes, His grace, His meekness, and all those things, and His justice. The real Jesus is revealed in Scripture. Not just half a Jesus. The whole real Jesus that anyone must trust in to be saved. And He put them all out. Because they didn't believe. They were not to witness the miracle. Oh, brethren, for some people it's not enough not to believe. They have to go further and mock and scorn. There are many like that in our day, aren't they? They can't just leave it. They may not believe in the Lord Jesus. They don't believe in God. They can't just leave it. They have to go further and mock and scorn. And there's a Greek word for them. It's moros. It's in the New Testament, moros. God calls some people moros. You know what it means? Moron. It's reserved for mockers and scoffers. Let me tell you this, on the basis of the New Testament, there's coming a day, and there will come a day, when all mockers, all foolish unbelievers, will be put out by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to mock and scorn and play Mr. Big when you're not in the situation. It's easy to pretend, many atheists pretend they're smart and they run off at the mouth with their stupid wee ideas. But according to the Bible, mockers, your day is coming. You remember that. Your day is coming. Do you really think that God the Father in heaven, who gave His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary, to the spittle of mockers and the spear and the nails, do you really think that He sent His only Son who He loves into this world to do the work of redemption, and He's just going to let people that mock and scoff at the Lord Jesus off? You really think that? That's not what the Bible says. God says, I will smash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I will rule them with a rod of iron. You may not be a believer here this morning, but let me warn you, don't be a mocker. Because that's an awful lot worse. Point number five. Talitha Kumi. Pastor, what are you talking about? We live in Northern Ireland. We don't speak Aramaic. I know. What does it mean? Jesus says it in Mark chapter 5, verse 41. The house is quiet now. It's emptied of all the people except the mother and the father, the Lord and the three disciples. They're beside Jairus' only dead daughter, who's 12. The little girl, 1 to 12, is called Little Maid. 13 and plus was a young woman. Jesus stands by the side of the bed of mourning, and He takes the little girl's hand and He speaks the words in Aramaic, Talitha kumi. Little maid, I say unto thee, arise. And because He speaks these words, the Son of God, the Word Himself, the incarnate Word, straight away she arose and walked. And it says in one of the passages, They were astonished with great astonishment. That doesn't even make sense. And you know what? It was the Puritans translated the King James Bible, and they were very careful with their words. And they even put, they were astonished with great astonishment. They were astonished. In other words, they were just blown away. They did it for emphasis. They were astonished with great astonishment. Her spirit came again into her. It says in Luke's Gospel, the one that was dead heard the voice of the Son of God, and she that heard it lived. And there's a day coming when all that are dead shall hear the Son, voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live, it says in John's Gospel. That's why I had to say, little maid, I say unto you, arise. Or outside, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Because everyone else would have come forth, because Jesus is God. Nothing is beyond the power of Jesus Christ. You remember that? These two people came on the worst day of their lives to the Lord, and he saved them. He rescued them. And in both cases, faith is emphasized. Faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever, no matter who you are, no matter what your burden or your problem is, you put it into the hands of Jesus Christ and he'll help you. He will. I want to conclude and apply the message. No point in preaching a message if there's no application. On the worst of days, position, dignity and honor means nothing. Point number one, the desperate woman, we looked at her. Long time sick, no help. Sorry, that was point two. The ruler's plea was the first point. Number two, the desperate woman. Number three, the Christ to his time. Even in an emergency with an important man, Jesus still has time to come and stop with an unknown woman and help her. Number four, the dead girl is asleep. Jesus puts out the mockers. They see nothing of his power. And number five, Talitha Kumi. Jesus raises even the dead. Jesus has compassion on those who grieve. And he helps those that are lost. Application number one. Jesus saves people on their worst day. He does. When we are at our extremity, then he saves us. We must see ourselves before we get saved as sinners. Hopeless and helpless. And we just need to cry out to him, Lord, save me. I can't do it myself. I'm dependent upon him. Lord, save me. Secondly, Jesus helps those in trouble who ask him. They asked him. They had to ask. They had to make a move. The honored man and his daughter, the unknown woman who is sick. He helps those who come to him. Thirdly, let us remember that the decisions we make at critical points in our life can prove deadly. If Jairus had not asked Jesus for help, his daughter would have died and remained dead. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, if she hadn't come to Christ, it says in the Bible, she would have died. She was dying. In people's worst days, if they make the wrong decision and leave Jesus out, it's very serious. There's no real hope to be had outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. None. Both these people on their worst day had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to him. He helped them. They were saved by him. They came in their trouble and in their difficulties. And it didn't matter if they were important in the eyes of the world or unimportant in the eyes of the world. Jesus helped them both. He is the hope of the hopeless and the helper of the helpless, isn't he? He is. What about, look at us. Look at me. Look at any of us. Were we those that had it all together? had all life worked out and everything was just holding together so wonderfully. No, no, no. We were finished, helpless and hopeless, and he saved us. Fourth point of application. It's a question. Are you grateful? Are we grateful? Am I grateful? Are we grateful for what God has done for us, what the Lord Jesus has done for us in forgiving our sins when we trusted in him and turned from our sins? We should always remember. I close with a little story and then that'll do us. We'll come to the table after. On the 27th of May 2012, there was a red warning flag up on the beach in West Sussex. Dangerous currents, undercurrents. Well, there was a mother down on the beach with her wee 5-year-old toddler in his rubber ring and wee armbands. Although she was watching him, she took her eyes off him for 1 minute, and he was paddling in the edge of the sea, and he went in a little bit too far. And a wave came in and caught him and swept him out. The current took him out. And the mother's terrified, standing at the edge of the shore in the waves, watching the wee child being taken out. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, sprinting, came a young 32-year-old man, straight into the water, swum out to where the wee toddler was, in the vicious waves and currents, and with all his strength, he brought the 5-year-old back to the shore. And he got to 16 feet off the shore, and the toddler, is it enough for the mother to come and get her, and he collapsed. He had to be dragged out. He died. The young man died. Whatever happened, too much strain, he died. Helicopter flew in with the medics and they worked on him for 30 minutes, but he was gone. The mother was distraught. She watched all this. She didn't even know who the young man was. He was not related to the young child in any way. But he saved that wee one. A great cost to himself. Today, nobody remembers the young man's name. He's largely forgotten. But if you go down to that beach, there's a post, a wooden post on the beach, you know, they hang the rings on for life rings. And there'll always be a fresh bunch of flowers hanging on that post from the mother and the wee child who's now grown up, because they have not forgotten what the young man did to save the child. If someone saves you on the worst day of your life, you'll never forget it. Never forget it. And Jesus has saved us on the worst day of our lives. And we don't forget him. Let us not forget him. Let us be grateful. Christians, I urge you, we have a mighty Savior. We have. Let us kindle our desire to worship and love him more. And don't put other things before him. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this to you. The Lord Jesus can help you in your direst need. On the worst day when you think you've no hope, he can help you. I urge you just to ask him. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. An unknown woman or an important ruler of the synagogue, no one is too high or low for the Lord to help. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for listening so well this morning.